slept with nobody but me. First time, second love, third crime I'm leaving. How many beds do I have to throw out? Run out of energy and sleep on the couch, crying over words that come out your mouth. Leave me shaking with anxiety, begging for some mercy. Why should anything good stay in such a hostile place? How could I believe in heaven when everything that I touch breaks? Why should anyone good stay in such a hopeless state?
Welcome back. You're listening to KXLL Juno. You just heard the brand spanking new Beatrice Deer. That's the Inuk indie pop artist from Nunavik, Quebec, who coined the term Innu Indie. Her new album just dropped today. It's called Shifting. That was the track Ukautinga. Before that, Nimkish, her album released earlier this year on the Indigenous-led Red Music Rising label. The album is called Damage Control. That was the track Fades. And we started the set with the new Hallucination. The track was Banana from their new album, One More Saturday Night. I'm Chandra Boom, and I'm here with Aaron Tripp today. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here again.
I'm excited.
I know, me too. It's been a little while. If you have listened to the show, you might remember that we did Obsessed late summer and early fall.
With six S's.
With six S's. Obsessed. Like, literally obsessed. We warned you, and we weren't kidding. If you didn't get a chance to catch any of those shows, check out the KXLL Instagram. You'll see some of our posts about it and kind of what it's all about. So today, we are here because 2021 has been a barrier-shattering year for Indigenous people in movies, film, TV, and fashion. Basically, mainstream pop culture has had this like giant ceiling for Indigenous people not having ownership of being able to tell our own stories. 2021 saw those barriers be smashed through in so many different industries in pop culture, and we are here for it. So today we're looking back at some of the biggest history-making moments that we obsessed about over the last year and listening to a playlist of Indigenous pop released in 2021. There's way too many to list and way too many tracks to play in this short hour. So just remember, this isn't a full list, just a snapshot of some of the really ground-shaking moments and updates on what's happening as a result. So let's just start with TV, because those were like some of the really, really huge ones. First, Rutherford Falls premiered on NBC's new streaming service, Peacock TV. And that was a big one because it was the first Native showrunner in Sierra Teller Ornelas. Also, half of the writer's room was Native. So that was one that we were like wolverining back in springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were some of the like really meaningful standout moments to you?
Okay, well, you have to start with the very first episode opening, because like that was, for me at least, the first time I was seeing Indigenous people represented on screen. And so like from the very first moment, I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, I started crying a little bit because yeah. I was like, the fact that you're seeing like not just Indigenous people on screen, but Indigenous writing and culture and designers all just like right from the get-go, like I was very overwhelmed in the best way. And like, I think this goes to what we're talking about, just like seeing yourself represented in some way on the big screen, like in the mainstream, is huge.
Yeah.
So that was like the main one. Michael Grey Eyes' character.
Oh my gosh.
As a whole.
Right.
It was probably the most memorable part of that show for me.
Yeah.
But like his monologue when he's talking to that reporter about like running this casino and making money and like all like doing it for his people. That was a really, really powerful moment.
Yep. Being a leader in the corporate world while also like being a father and being a community member.
Yeah.
Not even in all contexts a leader in his community, but like a community member. Yeah, that was huge. Yeah. For me, it was just like the overall familiarity and like nailing it of the issues that we face. So yeah, make Michael Grey's character, but then also Jana Schmeidling.
Still, we have to look it up.
Yeah, we're still on that one, guys. But Jana's character, you know, talking about kind of the crabs in a barrel phenomenon.
Yes.
And just being accountable to your community, essentially, while still being true to yourself and navigating really complex like community issues. What it was for me was just the overall like nailing those stories.
Yeah.
And it's just obvious that it was a Native-led show because they weren't like fumbling through things that they didn't know about. You know what I mean?
Like, it felt authentic and sincere and like it was for Native people.
So big deal. But that one was really just kind of paving the way and preparing people for the really sort of earth-shattering, ground-shaking show that was, of course, Reservation Dogs.
Yes.
On Hulu, on FX Hulu. So just a quick reminder, again, if you weren't listening to Obsessed earlier this year, Sterling Harjo and the 1491s co-created Reservation Dogs with Jewish Maori Oscar-winning director and global it guy Taika Waititi. And this one was the real earth-shattering one. It was all Native leads, Native creators, the writers, directors, and co-producers, whereas in the past, that has not happened before. Maybe it would be cast and some crew members, you know, cameramen, videographers, you know, things like that. But producers, to the producer, director, and writer and creator level, that was like huge. It was renewed immediately and has now, at the end of the year, been making a ton of big top 10 end of year lists for television shows like Entertainment Weekly, Deadline. So yeah, what was it? I mean, we have a ton to unpack here.
They also presented at the Emmys.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Presented at the Emmys, just won a Gotham Awards.
Yeah.
Really fun fact that I learned. So let's see, what is it? Oklahoma's. So Sterling Harjo, creator of the show, is from Oklahoma, Muscogee Creek. And Oklahoma's Samba TV data released an infographic showing the U.S. states that over-indexed the most for Reservation Dogs. And Alaska was there at the top of the list. Yep. 1,382% of our normal streaming, followed by South Dakota with 984%, Montana with 923%, and Oklahoma with 358%.
You know what that means?
Yeah.
It means we need a show about Native people in Alaska.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. And we could talk a little bit more about a couple ones that you and I have both heard about and have been in contact with a little bit, but those are not the same for a few reasons. So we can talk maybe a little bit more about that later.
Yeah.
Basically, it's not surprising either. So a little bit more context about that infographic and those numbers is that, you know, Alaska has half of the federally recognized tribes mm-hmm. in the United States. So it's sort of not surprising. I think it's surprising to the creators and to people downstates, but here I think
I need like an infographic that's just for Native people everywhere, so we can just see like,
right,
because like, I mean, just like Native people, I don't know about, you know, other people, but Native people, we like, whenever Native people become successful in any mainstream thing, we just are like so proud of each other. And like I don't know how many people are just like so excited about like somebody from their community, like this, these shows, like, oh my God, like this, you know?
Right.
So it's just, I love it. We're just like one big community.
It really is. And that's sort of like, that's one of the things that's so huge about it that I want to talk about. And mm-hmm. like part of it being ground shaking are these communities of people in these different fields. So we'll touch on that in just a minute. More of a fun fact about what's been happening with the creators of the show. So, of course, again, it was renewed for a second season basically immediately. Sterling Harjo, it was just announced, signed with FX for a heist miniseries. So that's really cool. Also partnering with director Sydney Freeland, one of the main directors of Res Dogs, for a basketball film that will be co-produced by LeBron James. And of course, Sterling Harjo racking up more industry acclaim, Hollywood Reporter's 40 most influential people in comedy, and just, again, just becoming like industry heavyweights, which
I love it.
Yeah, it's a big mm-hmm. deal. So here are some of the kind of ripple effects. So Bird Running Water, you might have seen this in the news. Bird Running Water from New Mexico has been helming the Sundance Institute's indigenous program for the past 20 years. He, right after the success of Res Dogs, right after it just like blew everybody's mind, shook the world, opened up the portals, he stepped down from that position and signed deals with Netflix and Amazon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's a huge deal. And then just a couple of days ago, earlier this week, Illuminatives, led by Crystal Echohawk, announced that they partnered with Netflix to create a program to develop Native producers.
Huge. That's huge.
Right. Right. So Bird Running Water's involvement in the industry and his work to develop not just actors, but creators, television and film creators, has been a really, really big deal. And so to put this focus on developing creative lead roles is a really big deal.
Yeah.
And it's an example of kind of that immediate impact and ripple effect of what happens when exactly what you were just saying, you know, people in our communities, in our really small communities, reach these successes.
People are learning that we have really talented people also, and our stories are amazing. So
right.
We're natural storytellers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can't be told the same way.
No.
Without us. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I have a couple more shows I'll quickly mention.
Yeah.
Hawkeye on Disney Plus has a deaf native superhero played by, I don't know how to say her first name, Alakwa Cox. And it's her first acting role, first off. So I'm like, that's amazing. And she's getting her own show from Disney Plus that's just about her superhero, which is amazing.
And that's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. That's MCU.
That's
amazing.
Right. It's huge.
Yeah. I haven't watched Hawkeye yet. I was like waiting for the episodes to build up.
Yeah.
Because if I'm honest, I'm not a Hawkeye fan.
Right.
But I am a native superhero fan.
Yes.
And she's deaf too. So like it's also great for the deaf community as well. So it's really exciting. Oh, and I just learned today that she's also an amputee and has a prosthetic leg.
Yes.
So just like even more rep for the disability community as a superhero.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Firekeeper's Daughter is a book that debuted earlier this year before it even debuted, came out. It had all these amazing like accolades, like Reese Witherspoon's book club, and then Time Magazine's best YA book of all time. One of them, yes.
Wow.
And also got optioned for a Netflix series through, what is it called? The Obama's Higher Ground Production Company. So it's going to be a Netflix series.
Let's say that one again.
Yeah.
The Firekeeper's Daughter.
Yeah. So the book's called The Firekeeper's Daughter, optioned for a series on Netflix. And it's a long name. The Obama's Higher Ground Production Company.
So the Obama's production company just basically bought the rights to turn it into a series. That's so great. Okay, cool. So a little bit more about our communities and how all of these different communities of creators are supporting each other and really walking through this portal that has just been opened this year.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, we'll take a break for some music. And yeah, like I said, when we come back, get ready for the ground to like shake. We'll look at some more of what's happening now that the portal's opened up and some of the creators helping make sure it gets bigger. Here's a new one from Oklahoma musician Samantha Crane. Her EP, I Guess We Live Here Now, was released earlier this year. And this is a remix of the lead single from that EP, Bloomsday, with an Oklahoma duo called Husbands. Keep it tuned to KXLL.
Like a lighter, no, it's seen out of light. Or are you an Okie from Okmulgee, just making do with wax and pride?
Just a lot of love, yeah. So much I ain't even know what being broke was. Plant the seed and it'll grow, my Nietzsche, yeah. Starve the ego, feed the soul, my Nietzsche, yeah. Family under nothing, rest cold, my Nietzsche, yeah. Decolonize your mind, that's when you glow, my Nietzsche, glow, yeah. Last night I had a dream, got my granny singing out for me. Every time I pray she looking out for me. Said she proud and hopes I'm finding everything I'm looking for, yeah. Woke up and smudged as the happy tears fall down, yeah. So count the blessings you've been getting. I see my funerals and graduations and the weddings. Man, I loved and I lost, don't you doubt it for a second. No repeater on my dogs, I know dogs go to heaven, yeah. Whatever shake me or break me, I hope it make me better now. Cause all I wanna do is make my mama proud. The change start with me, you know what now. So I ain't gonna change the world unless I change myself, real. And my daddy told me I'm a reflection of who know me best. Res boy turn spiritual, let the hair grow. Young boy turn lyrical, a voice for my people, I'ma see it through. Mama couldn't give me life, she told me I'm a miracle. To the blessings I've been given, and all the late nights, mama cooking in the kitchen. For all the extra miles that wouldn't eat unless she did it. I love you, mama, this for you, we gon' get it. Take my shoes, you can walk a mile. I've been hell and back, cause my mama all made me brown. And we all know real love's on the east side of town, yeah. If you really wanna know me, you should stay a while,
stay a while.
Hey, crooked smile, boy, style on them,
style on them.
Rez kids, you can call me cousin,
call me cousin.
They said we wouldn't amount to nothing,
no.
Label something else, guess it's better than nothing,
yeah.
I've been down bad,
yeah.
But I know my word,
yeah.
Nowadays when I'm down, it's when I'm down to earth.
True.
Don't ignore the pain, I know change hurts. Real change come within, wouldn't change it for the world, for real.
Change on my ways on my mind. Days on my change on my
chasing rabbits till I'm whole. Hurting cause I've stole each moment that we've grown. If your eyes saw my silhouettes, regrets will fill my days.
You're listening to KXLL Juno.
I am bubblegum. I better walk before I run. I'm two-wheeling now. I'm 6 years old. I am too much cologne. I break the rules and come home stoned. I am abandoned alone. I'm 17 years old. I am alcohol. I'm a line in the bathroom stall. I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm 21. I'm blue collar. I'm turning into my father. I'm treating women badly. I'm 23. I don't know. Just losing old friends. I'm 25. On my first ride with the Ferris wheel. I'm loafing by the Cardigans. We're buying a home. I'm a partner. I'm a friend. I'm your crush from 2005. I'm 26. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I don't know.
Realized that I knew nothing about the American Indian and that everything we are taught about the American Indian is wrong. It's inaccurate. And our school books are hopelessly lacking, perhaps criminally lacking, in revealing what our relationship was with the Indian. When we hear, as we've heard throughout all our lives, no matter how old we are, that we are a country that stands for freedom, for rightness, for justice, for everyone.
It simply doesn't apply to those who are not white. It just simply doesn't apply. And we were the most rapacious, aggressive, destructive, torturing, monstrous people who swept from one coast to the other, murdering and causing mayhem among the Indians. There's one Indian in there. But that isn't revealed, because we don't like that image of ourselves. We don't like to see us. We like to see ourselves as perhaps John Wayne sees us. And and also what we've learned about the Indians has been largely taught to us by Hollywood. Indians have been tragically misrepresented in films, and in our history books, in our attitudes, in our reporting. And so we must set about to re-educate ourselves.
One night with the moonlight above, I found in dreams a heart was the sea. One night in the moonlight above, I found you in dreams, we're swimming and free. The time in the stars, stars in the sky, fell full of light. Remember, remember, stars in the sky, fell full of light.
Welcome back. You're listening to KXLL Juno. I'm Chandra Boom. Today, we are doing an Indigenous year, and it's 2021 Indigenous Wrapped, because it has been a history-making moment after history-making moment this year. We started that set with Samantha Crane, the remix of her track Bloomsday, released earlier this year. Also had Snotty Nose Rez Kids. The track was Change from their new album Life After. And the new single from Quinn Christopherson. It's called Bubblegum, and Quinn is Anchorage-based, Inupiaq Athabascan, and the video for that song, Bubblegum, really matches like the vibe and the lyrics perfectly, and it's just kind of a joy to watch. So if you haven't watched it yet, go check it out. We also had a spoken word track from Superman's new album this year. The album is called Medicine Bundle, and the track was Stay Connected. And the song that you just heard was one of our groundbreaking moments of the year. It was Nicholas Galan and his recording project Yitzhin is signed to music industry heavyweight Sub Pop Records for his first release on a major record label. The album is Indian Yard. It was released in April. On top of that, his installation Never Forget featured at the Desert X Biennial in the Quechua Ancestral Lands, also known as the Coachella Valley, solidified his standing as one of the most vital multidisciplinary contemporary visual artists working today. I'm also here with Aaron Tripp. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining me again. And so, okay, we keep using this term groundbreaking. And what do we really mean when we say groundbreaking? It's not just a moment. It's like a game changer, right?
No, it's like we've described it this way before. It's like a dam breaking and like the flood water is just like you can't put it back. We can't be put back in the box.
Right.
You know?
Yep. It's like a portal's opened and the portal's only going to get bigger.
Yeah.
It means that things, the impact of all of these moments happening together means that things are possible that literally were impossible previously mm-hmm. for a lot of different reasons. So when we say groundbreaking, it's not a term that we're just throwing around. Like it really is game changing moments. Here are some of the things that happen hand in hand within the creative communities that we've been discussing and that we've been following all year. And one of the things is that, you know, with these TV shows and with these artists, musicians, that writers and journalists who are also Native and scholars who are also Native have been covering these, which is really, really huge and has been rare in the past. So to have highly acclaimed Native scholars and writers covering critically acclaimed moments is itself just, it's something that's been rare. And who can speak more intelligently and with this critical eye than people who are also coming from these experiences. So to have a shared lens of perspective and to avoid all of the explaining, the educating, and the expensive energy that it comes with breaking the barriers of talking with non-Native scholars for these creators is also like a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, it shows the importance of being represented in all these different kinds of realms from these things you don't even think about, like journalism or scholarly work, we should be responding to work that's created by us.
Right. So one of the favorite ones that I was following earlier this year that you and I discussed mm-hmm. on Obsessed was Callie Simmons' coverage on Vulture. Callie Simmons is a doctorate in Indigenous literature and Native American studies. She's also into like sci-fi and the supernatural and is just like all around into the nerdery. And fun fact, she liked one of my social media posts earlier and I like freaked out about it. Yeah, I've been following her for a while. And so to see her with all of her just like knowledge and sense of humor and again, that like kind of nerdery, like nerding out aspect has just been so
her
amazing.
Reviews for each of those episodes were one of my favorite things. Like it really enriched the experience for me.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. was helped me to articulate my own feelings that I had. So I just would be like so down if she did that for everything.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, right? And for her to do that for Vulture too,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
a huge. She was also one of the only critics to help tackle one of the really challenging low points that came up with that show, you know.
Mm.
We won't dig into that too much right now because we have a ton of other moments to go over, and that's a lot of like really rich and nuanced conversation. But she was one of the only ones to do it in her column, and that was huge. And it just really validated the conversation that was happening. And yeah, it's again, the portal just keeps getting wider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another one who I wanted to talk about was Therese Mylott. So Therese Mylott was the New York Times bestselling author of Heart Berries. And the thing about her writing is that she strips away all of the shame of intergenerational trauma.
Yes.
Right. She really, really tackles trauma and holds herself account to it. And it's beautiful and amazing. And like, man, yeah, you do not F with Therese Mylott.
Oh no.
Right. So anyway, I wanted to mention her. So she's a professor at Purdue University for creative writing. She has an upcoming feature in Elle magazine on
Ooh.
Quanah Chasing Horse Pots.
Love that.
Who we'll talk about in just a moment because that's one of our huge, hugely visible moments.
Yes.
In fashion, right? But so Therese Mylott's, that Elle magazine issue is either out already or coming out soon. I probably should have at least known the month. But anyway, my point is for a writer of the work that she does, which is to confront traumas, to be covering a supermodel, which is what Quanah is, mm-hmm. Is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's again, mm-hmm. it's just another one of these things where it's like, it would not have been possible in the past for scholars and writers to be able to sort of walk hand in hand with these issues, yet still cover, you know, supermodels.
Yeah.
In a magazine like Elle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It literally would have been impossible before. Yeah. And so that's just sort of the power of having our people tell our own stories, even among the really, really challenging things.
Yeah. And we have a long history of Indigenous erasure. And so the thing that is important and groundbreaking. Wow.
You had that one.
Cancel the show.
Yeah.
is...
We're good. It's Friday.
The importance of it is that we are being pushed into visibility and people seeing us. So that's the ripple effect, is that more and more we are being considered for all these different mediums.
Exactly. Among all of the things that we have to tackle mm-hmm. at the same time. It's like we could spend an entire show talking about what comes along with that visibility. And in fact, we probably will at some point.
Yeah.
I have a lot of thoughts about that. Because there is this huge issue of all of this sudden visibility. But right now we're looking at the Indigenous raft and it's the year-end celebration yes. time. So we're going to keep moving in that direction. The next one, Quanah Chasing Horse Potts, supermodel from Fairbanks.
Amazing.
Supermodel. Okay, so she was noticed when she was advocating to AFN, that's the Alaska Federation of Natives, to adopt climate change policy just a couple of years ago. She then announced that she was signing with IMG Models, again, industry heavyweight mm-hmm. in the modeling world. Calvin Klein was the first big label gig that she landed. Earlier this year, she was on the cover of Vogue Mexico, which was a huge deal. And then she broke the internet at the Met
she
Gala.
She really did.
She broke the internet. Yeah. So now, you know, we just mentioned the Elle magazine feature. She's had features in Vogue and in Style. I mean, she has since talked about feeling a little bit lonely and feeling like she didn't belong at the Met Gala. That she was approaching the theme for the year in this totally different way. It meant something totally different to her than it did for others. But since she broke the internet, now she's getting all of this attention.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas some of the photos that you might have noticed from the Met Gala itself, she maybe would have been in the background, she's now front and center.
Yeah.
And she is a supermodel. She just did this Chanel campaign. Like,
you can't
she's a
miss
supermodel.
Her.
You can't miss, I mean... Yeah. She's not just a model. She is a supermodel.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Huge. Yeah.
Huge deal.
I mean, so much so Angelina Jolie tried to copy her style.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. if you don't know what we're talking about, Google Angelina Jolie chin cuff. And that's all I'll have to say about that. Quanah Chasing Horse looked really stunning at the Met Gala, by the way. So if you haven't seen that one, definitely Google it. She was wearing this gold lamé Peter Dundas dress, and that's not even the point. It was all of her auntie's silver and turquoise jewelry mm-hmm. that she had layered all over. It was just incredible. Okay, more Indigenous moments in Alaska. When we come back, we'll break for some music. Here's Zeba One. The track is Two Spirited.
We'll be right back.
You just heard the track Christmas from Beatrice Deer's new album, Shifting, and that was just released today. We are closing out our 2021 Indigenous Rap today with some of our favorite history-making moments from 2021. Erin, thank you so much for being with me.
So excited to be here.
I know. It's been so much fun. We've been like giggling about way too many, a thousand different things during the music break. So forgive us as we wrap ourselves up in Alaska. So some of the moments that we've had in Alaska, one of them, of course, the local beaters who have had work featured in some of these projects. Speaking of community.
Well, I mean, everybody I think knows Jill Costine. If you don't know Jill, got to get it together. But she had her beadwork featured on Reservation Dogs. And
the pickle.
I was going to say the pickle and the microphone, but the pickle is iconic.
Yeah, the pickle is iconic. Like that should, that could be like end of year covers all by itself.
And it was the best reveal because, you know, like I was aware that she had beadwork. And so watching the episode and seeing it for the first time, it was worth the wait.
Yeah. And that's right here in Juneau.
Yeah, I know. She's well, and right it's like, I mean, this goes to like, the Native community being really supportive of each other. Like these Native shows are like pulling together community from all across the country, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then my sister, Erica Tripp, also a beater who makes stunning pieces. I know I'm biased, but
drum roll, guys,
has a pair of earrings that will be on next season's Rutherford Falls.
That's so amazing.
Confirmed because it was posted on social media, so it's fine.
It's official. And congratulations.
But I'm like so excited.
Congratulations to her. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see what they look like. Her work is really, really cool. Another local one, Michaela Goad.
Yes. Okay. All right. So Michaela Goad, everybody knows Michaela Goad because she's a beautiful illustrator. She illustrates children's books. She won the Caldecott Medal this year as an illustrator for We Are Water Protectors. And I think she's the first Native person to receive that award. So it's huge. And she's a Thlinkit and a Haida person. And she has her own book coming out next year that she wrote and is illustrating called Berry Song, which just sounds like it's going to be precious.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I love it. There's another like totally fun, random one that is way random. I still feel like it's sort of in the realm of pop culture.
I love random. Yeah. Lay it on me.
All right, good. It's hipster pop culture because it's in the brewing industry. So if you don't know the brewing industry that well, I mean, I only sort of do. I'm just a fan. Again, I like good craft beer. You know, it really is a white male dominated industry. And anyway.
Unsurprisingly.
Right. Unsurprisingly. Yeah. Really great beer, guys. But man, the culture really is, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. So in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, is a brewery that's owned by a Native woman. And in honor of Native Heritage Month, she did this sort of invitation to her fellow colleagues in the brewing industry to make a beer that's brewing this specific beer and doing Native land acknowledgements for breweries to learn more about on whose land they operate and serve their wonderful beers. So I know that there's at least a couple in Alaska who have stepped up to that challenge and are figuring out like how to do that in a respectful way, which I, as a beer fan, I'm really, really excited about. I think it's going to be cool. And I can't wait to see what they brew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's our Indigenous Wrapped, folks. Lots of local stuff, lots of national stuff. Really interconnected communities of creators lifting up and supporting each other. And it's really exciting. I can't wait to see what happens as this portal gets bigger and bigger.
And to talk about things in 2022.
I know. So stay tuned, folks, because these are some really fun, really complex issues that I kind of love tearing into them. So thanks so much, Erin, for being with me today.
Thank you for having me and all the other times this year, too.
Yeah, for wrapping up 2021. This has been awesome. All right, folks, that's it for today. Have an awesome weekend. We'll close it out with Dig a Wolf. This was not released this year, but it's so beautiful. Dig a Wolf is a Dene Tlicho from Yellowknife Northwest Territories. And you're really going to hear some Leonard Cohen similarities. So I hope you enjoy it. This is from the title track to his album Yellowstone, released in 2019. This is Dig a Wolf, Yellowstone. Kakugulu, have a good weekend.
That walk with you.